Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
A bit of a shaky start to the week for Philippine markets, but the PSE Composite was able to snap two straight days in the red and end Wednesday with slight gains. But the second half of the year brings it with it concerns about a second wave of COVID-19 infections that many countries across the ASEAN are facing. And there's also the possibility of an economic recovery among many of these nations getting derailed. Today on Across the ASEAN, we're joined by Mr. Ron Acoba, once again, the Chief Investment Strategist for Trading Edge Consultancy out in Manila, to share with us his insights on the second half of the year for Philippine stocks and markets in general. Ron, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear you are still in good health, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You know, as we mentioned, it was a bit of a tentative start to the second half for Philippine markets. But at least this Wednesday, we saw some slight gains. They weren't inspiring, but it's nice to see the PSE close in the green after the wobbliness over the last couple of sessions. But do you think this is par for the course and in line with your second half outlook?
Well, JP, first and foremost, the markets have been on a major roller coaster ride, as you know, during the first half of the year. The PSEI, after ending 2019 at 7815, cratered to a low of 4039 in March before staging a notable rally to end the first half at 6207. So for the first half, the index was down about 20.5%, but it was actually up 50% of its March low. So given its massive rally during the past 2 to 3 months, I expected some degree of profit taking or for the index to at least consolidate its gains. And if you look over the past few weeks, since the start of June, actually, the index has been trading flat between around 6,100 to 6,400. So for the start of the second half of the year, I continue to expect the index to trade within a tight band with a little upside, considering that the U.S. market remains to be strong. However, it is on my view that the index may suffer another large drawdown that may send it back perhaps towards its 2020 lows again.
And just for our listeners there, what's that 2020 low, Ron?
Around 4,000 to 4,500.
All right. And what do you think might trigger this? Is this more macroeconomic concerns from the COVID-19 pandemic? We have noted, at least here in Singapore, that cases out in Manila and across the Philippines are starting to inch up again at a concerning pace. Is this also at the forefront of investor concerns out in Manila and on the PSE's trading floors?
Well, consensus actually gives the PSEI a 12-month fair value estimate of around 6,700, which if you consider the one-year government bond yield of 1.8 or 1.9%, that adjusts to around a level of 6,600 over the next 12 months, not end of the year 2020, but the middle of 2021. So from its present level of around 6.3, that only represents an upside of about 5%. Which in my view is actually very thin considering the ongoing risk that we currently have. As you've mentioned, one of the major risks is that COVID cases continue to increase in the Philippines in the last few days, actually at an all-time daily increase, in fact, and even in the U.S. So with increasing COVID numbers, it will just eventually, at least for now, anecdotally, this will just continue to discourage people to go out and spend, which in turn would curtail the already weak economic activity. And another major risk that I'm actually very concerned with is that I believe that the US equity markets are in a Fed-induced bubble. If you look at its multiples, the Dow and the Nasdaq, for example, are at a very rich multiple of 24 and 28 times, respectively. So with that, I think that a major correction in the US is imminent, which, as we know, could very well spill over in Asia.
The thing, though, is equity bulls continue to believe that all of the stimulus, and we have heard from the Fed recently that stimulus might be needed to help a stalling economic recovery in the U.S., they believe that this is going to be the magic bomb that solves everything. It seems that you are not in agreement with these everlasting optimists on the markets. Can you tell us what the dangers are if the recent rise in U.S. equity suddenly comes back crashing down to earth, and what the dangers are specifically for the ASEAN market and the Philippine market?
First and foremost, sooner or later, I believe that with the massive stimulus that the governments have enacted and monetary policies by central banks like the Fed would somehow lead to an improvement in economic activity. That's already a given. So with that incremental improvement in economic activity, sooner or later, the Fed or central banks in general would have to unwind the liquidity that they already unleashed in the market, which in turn would sooner or later translate to higher interest rates. Take note, interest rates globally are at an all-time low. Markets are very liquid, hence the U.S. is trading at an all-time high. So sooner or later, when these improvements get factored in, the unwinding of stimulus would lead to a correction in the market.
We're still speaking to Ron Acoba, Chief Investment Strategist at Trading Edge Consultancy. Ron, let's shift our attention now back to more Philippine-centric issues. The economic outlook, at least for the Philippines, continues to be rather dour, at least for the next 12 months. Now, there are also stories coming out that the outsourcing or BPO industry, which is a very important economic engine in the Philippines, is getting hit hard. And this industry has strong linkages to many other sectors, among them also property firms as well. Can you share with us what you're advising folks back home regarding both how to approach the economic impact of the challenges to the BPO industry and whether or not there's any feedback that could hit property stocks and property developers?
Well, like all industries, the BPO industry has been disrupted by decreasing demand and restrictions on mobility of workers. As you've mentioned, the sector is actually one of the most important contributors to Philippine economy along with remittances. So obviously a dip in this particular sector would likewise have a negative impact, not only on the property segment, but in the economy in general. And actually that is why the government is very adamant in supporting POGOs, because when some of the BPOs started to leave 2 to 3 years back, the POGOs were actually the ones that took their place. Now, to answer your question, the BPO, as I've mentioned, is a very important driver of the Philippine economy. If they started to unwind some of their operations here in the Philippines because of decreasing global demand, decreasing business activity, it being a major contributor specifically to the property segment. If you look back over the past few years, actually, major developers have building up their inventory of office spaces, the likes of Ayala Land, the likes of SMPM, even mid-tier property companies like Double Dragon, precisely because they want to position their earnings for more sustainability. So with this, that would be a major weight for their profitability moving forward.
I want to also touch on a planned IPO that seems to be coming up soon. Converge, one of the big and upcoming players in terms of data services and broadband in the Philippines, is planning to IPO. Now, they're no slouches. They've count the likes of private equity heavyweights, Warburg Pincus among their backers also, and they're planning to raise, I believe, around $725 million, arguably one of the biggest IPOs we've seen in the Philippines. And how are you viewing the upcoming listing of Converge and what it means for any affected industry from telcos to broadband and also for the IPO markets in general there?
Well, as you've mentioned, the Converge IPO is actually the largest IPO in history, raising to about 36 billion pesos, which is actually larger than the 25 billion that GT Capital raised a few years back, which was larger than the 25 billion that Cemex Philippines raised and larger than the 29 billion that SM Investment rate. So for me, the way that I see it is, given the shaky environment that we are currently in, this would actually weigh on the general market as it will mop up a lot of liquidity that will otherwise be used to purchase in the secondary market, you know, given its size. On the other end, since the company will be listing when the Philippines is currently in a recession, I should say, I think that it will be priced with a cheaper multiple rather than if it lists where the index, let's say, is trading back at around 8,000 to 900 level.
And finally, Ron, before we let you go, I did want to get your quick outlook on the Philippine peso. And last I checked, it was actually in the running to be Asia's best performer in the first half. Why do you think the peso's defied these many headwinds and risen to be Asia's strongest?
On the technical end, the USD to peso exchange rate will actually continue to trade lower, at least in the very near term, following its break below its key support at previous floor at around 50-40. Fundamentally, one of the main reasons why we're seeing a rather strong local currency is that the Philippine government, at least for the month of May, recorded an increase in balance of payments of about $2.35 billion that actually, in total, leads to a gross international reserves of around 93.25 billion, which is actually an all-time high level. So this is one of the major factors that is contributing to the peso's strength. Now, on the U.S. side, the dollar continues to weaken with the Fed's massive stimulus. The interest rate of 0 to 0.25%, even with the BSP cutting its interest rate by 50 basis points to 2.25%, its interest rate differential relative to the U.S. still presents a positive carry, which in turn encourages more inflows to our system, which, again, in turn, further strengthening the peso.
But do you think that they're going to hold on to some of the strength in the next 6 months? Might there be cracks in the local currency?
Well, at least in the next few months, at least the flows are continuing to be on the side of the peso. But you're correct, sooner or later, some degree of crack would have to unwind the strength of the peso, leading to at least to a temporary rally in the USD.
Ron Acoba, Chief Investment Strategist for Trading Edge Consultancy out in Manila. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on Across the ASEAN here in Singapore for Money FM 89.3. Stay safe, and we hope you and your loved ones continue to stay in good health out there. Have a great afternoon, sir.
Thank you, JP.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.